Years ago, as I prepared to teach a class on the poems of Emily Dickinson at Columbia, I memorized 140 of them. Not such a prodigious feat, as so many are fewer than 20 lines, and I've been learning poems by heart since childhood when I encountered John Greenleaf Whittier's Barefoot Boy with Cheek of Tan and Henry Wadsworth Longfellow's Grave Alice and Laughing Allegra. I've had this short one of Dickinson's in mind so much this spring. Presentiment is that long shadow on the lawn, indicative that suns go down, the notice to the startled grass that darkness is about to pass. An everyday event, yet momentous, the grass is startled. Death was prevalent in Dickinson's life. Childhood friends and cousins died overnight of fevers, and when she was in her 30s, young men from her village of Amherst died in the Civil War or returned missing limbs, blinded or psychically dislocated for life. There's been a death in the opposite house as lately as today. I know it by the numb look such houses have alway. Another poem of hers begins, "And that could be now. And this moment of global pandemic, unimaginable not long ago." Here, where I am in the Hudson Valley, in another country town, a bear scrambled down Main Street, and someone captured it in a video. The streets were quiet and empty through April and much of May, just the tolling of the tower bell to be heard, and birdsong, and occasionally a child wheeling by on a scooter, solo, helloing another across the road. The poems in the original iteration of this anthology, published as an ebook in late spring 2020, were gathered quickly, within 40 days, beginning on March 27th. They were an unexpected bounty in a period when so much was uncertain and would remain that way for a long time to come. They're splendidly varied in style, tone, atmosphere, aesthetic approach, and intention. Some are rueful and darkly witty, some wistful, some emerging from dread and tinged with that dread. Some are love poems. Many, particularly those composed in the early days of the pandemic, culminate in a cri de coeur, always individual, always that single poet's cry. It's fair to acknowledge, too, that even in the presence of critical anxiety, a number of our bards are prone to what John Clare, the English village minstrel poet, called hermit joy. All the poets are American, reflecting in the specificity of their work the landscapes and events they are experiencing in New Orleans, West Hartford, and Evanston, in Texas, Florida, Minnesota, and Vermont, and of course in my own city of New York, where the sirens could be heard through the phone line when I spoke with friends. The poets range widely also in gender, sexuality, and age. While their voices are distinctly unique, a paramount pleasure of this gathering, there are kinships and connections. There are two doctors among them, and poets linked by their experience of illness. There are a husband and wife, a father and daughter, and even three poets, unrelated by blood, who share a surname, all Phillips. Some are parenting or caring for elderly parents during the pandemic, while others shelter alone, with their books, their memories, and their imaginations as daily company. Some are moved to meditation on isolation, others to celebrate the way conversation, now such a special joy and luxury, often via Zoom, was a happy given, seemingly just minutes ago.